Welcome to Torah Talk, a program that challenges 2,000 years of misunderstanding and neglect of the Torah, God's law. In this show, we will be threshing ideologies by examining these scriptures in their Hebraic contexts. Our goal is to separate the wheat from the chaff, the truth from misconception. This program is sponsored by The Harvest, a Messianic charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado.
Shalom, lovers of the Torah, and thank you for choosing to listen to Torah Talk. We have a great podcast for you today. We will be midrashing on the concepts of worship and more specifically, the issue of spirit and truth as it relates to worship. So we have a number of passages we want to look through. The first one is found in John chapter 4. And it deals with the issues of spirit and truth. And of course, this is rooted in the Torah as found in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 28 through 32. That's a passage that governs the area of worship itself. So we have a great podcast. We're going to midrash on this. And so stay tuned in. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome in the studio today with me my co-host, Pastor Russ. Welcome to the show. And also Torah teacher, BJ. Thank you for being a part of this show. Before we get started, any comments on this topic?
I'm excited to get into it. And I think it's really exciting to see the heart of the Lord when he says, this is what I desire. I love scriptures like that, where he tells us specifically what it is that he's looking for. And so he's looking for those who will worship in this way. And so it's got to be a valuable teaching tool for us.
Amen. And I'll just tell you, based on the topic that you chose, worship, it's been something that's been on my heart to want to study for a while. And this was great motivation to do that. And I was surprised at some of the things that I found. So I'm really excited that we're doing this. And I just love looking at the Word of God.
That's great. It is. It's a big area. Worship's a big area. Mm-hmm. It's a central area. And I'm enamored with it as well. And so I'm totally excited about it. So as we jump into the show, I just want to remind our audience, keep in mind, this is a midrash. It is not to be construed as a doctrinal statement or a theological treatise on the subject. We're simply wrestling with the passages to better inform you as well as ourselves. We reserve the right to change our minds on our ideas as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Messiah. So with three of us on the show today, I'm pretty excited because we should have six or seven opinions. And I think that's great. And we've always had a lot of fun. So why don't we go ahead and just dive in. I'm going to read the first portion that we're going to look at. It's found in John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. Yeshua is speaking to a Samaritan woman at a well. And he's the master teacher, can turn any conversation into a penetrating look inside of all of us and our mm-hmm. hearts and expose things. And he's wonderful in every way. And so he encounters this woman at the well, and she's been talking to him about issues of the people of God and worshiping God. And so he basically says to her concerning the issues of worship, he says, an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So as we jump into this passage, let's talk about this concept of worship. What is worship? What does that mean when we hear this word worship? What is engaged in your heart, your soul, your mind when we think of worship?
I mean, my first response, the first most obvious would be actual praise to the Lord. You know, that the time that it is that we spend praising him, singing to him, honoring him. But I think it's so much more than that. It's not just the half an hour that we spend at the church service doing worship during that time, even though that's what my kind of natural instinct would be. But it's this honoring of him, and I think it can be more than just me singing to him. I think it can be more than just me spending that time with him, though I think that is a big part of it.
Yeah, those would be aspects of worship, but it's way bigger than that. Mm-hmm. It's more than singing. It's more than praising. But who would deny that praising and singing is not a part of worship,
right?
You know? And so, yeah, you know, you're exactly right. It's bigger than that, but you're right. So what is it then? What does it mean to worship someone or something? What does that imply? What does that entail? To worship something.
Well, to reverence, to just look at as, your superior. I mean, something certainly more than that, something supernaturally superior, but
yeah, cause I'm an employer here,
right?
I wear different hats, but one of the hats I wear is I'm an employer. You're on staff. I pay your wages. Russ, am I your superior in that regard?
Yes.
Do you worship me?
No.
I you know what? That's confirmation. Cause I agree. You don't worship me. But I am your superior. You show me respect. But there's something, like you said, that's transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
You used the word, I think, supernatural, something that's like it transcends the natural.
Right.
It's this big thing that's in our hearts. You know, the word I would use as perhaps maybe a synonym is love.
Mm.
But it's bigger than even love.
Sure.
But you know, when you really love something, I mean, passionately to the bone, deep within, love something, you tend to serve it,
mm-hmm.
and you tend to give it attention,
mm-hmm.
and you tend to want to spend time with it, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you really can't worship something without loving it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be something that you're like, ah. I love this, or I love this person. I ache for this person.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like life is pathetic when I'm not with this person.
Mm-hmm.
But when I am, everything comes to life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think of this extravagant, unabandoned love as being part of what is necessary, to worship something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, does that resonate with you guys, or disagree with me, or want to just say anything about that?
Well, I think it is my relationship with the Lord, that worship isn't just I went and I sang a song. You know, there is something so intimate about that. And there's something so, so when you're saying, related to that love of just his preeminence over everything in my life, you know, that you don't worship something that other things are more important than, you know, he can't be worshiped when he's not priority. I mean, it's such a, I get the concept of the love part of it, but it's like, you just keep adding more and more to it of going, okay, but it's like you love him with everything but then he's your priority. And then he's got this preeminence. Like it's just escalates, you know, of to that point of where it is that it's something that's worshiped.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like I don't have words to,
right.
You know, to really define it because nothing seems like enough.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, nothing seems quite strong enough for that importance that it is that he has to have in your life for you to worship him. It's not half an hour where we sing songs.
Yeah.
It's within my entire being that this is the God that I worship.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, we have all loved at different points in our life. And I'm not even sure though that would qualify as worship.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly you have to have that in order to move into worship. But like I'm married, I've been married for 34 years now. I love my wife. She's my high school sweetheart. I don't bow before her. I don't lay prostrate before her. I don't do these things that would really exhibit worship.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the concept of worship is to lay prostrate before. There's a reverence and an awe that you fall at the feet of this person.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that part of that transcendent aspect of worship.
Mm-hmm.
That worship is qualified by that which demands the totality of all that you are. And even as you give everything, all that you are to this one that you worship, it feels like it still wasn't enough. Right. I gave everything to you know, this God, this creator of the universe, the one who has sent Mashiach. And after it's all said and done, I still feel like I didn't really quite give enough because he's so transcendent. And I think that's even what you were saying just a few minutes ago, BJ. It's just like, it just feels like you want to give more and more, and you can't even give what really is commensurate to the mm-hmm. glory that's before you. And that is, that's worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's worship. And there's no man, there's no woman, there's no thing that could ever solicit that from our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, if we moved on to this whole aspect of what Yeshua was saying about worshiping God, that the Father seeks those who would truly worship him. And he qualifies those people as those who worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea would be that it goes beyond the natural. It goes beyond the physical. It goes beyond all that we would qualify through our empirical sensory apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
It requires deep within our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This admiration, exaltation of the Lord, you know, who is the all-glorious one. You know, magnify the Lord. How do you magnify the one that's infinite?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot magnify the one that's infinite. In your heart you can, because in your heart he may not be infinite to you. So why don't you just magnify him in your heart, because he is more than you've ever imagined.
Mm-hmm.
But to worship in spirit insinuates that It's got to go beyond the mind. It transcends even the mind. It's got to go beyond the emotions.
Right, right.
It's got to be part of the core of who you are in your spirit. It's got to come from truly deep within you.
Right. Yeah, and I think you really hit on it. It's more than just out of the depths of you. It's all of you.
Yeah.
It's all that you have. It's all that you are. And even after, if you've been able to successfully offer up and surrender all these to the one you're worshiping, to the Lord, you still feel like, oh, I fell so short in giving what he truly deserves, you know.
Yeah.
But I love when we're talking about this, both of you hit on the, you know, it's not even commensurate with what it is that God deserves. I mean, I could give up every fiber DNA of my being in worship to him, and it wouldn't be a trickle towards what it is that he's deserving of.
Right.
And yet he still desires it.
Yes.
I think it's this beautiful picture of how, you know, we fall so short, and, you know, what's my worship compared to what he deserves.
Yes.
I mean, no matter at my most worshipful, intimate, giving up my life, my flesh to the Lord, it's still not what he deserves. You
mm-hmm.
know, I can't hit on that level. And yet he still desires it. I just think it's such a beautiful picture of his intimacy and his desire, that even when it is that it's just not good enough for him, because I don't know how to make something that's good enough for the God of the universe. And yet he still is seeking those who will worship him that way, who will still honor him that way. And that tells me that's a blessing to him, of even in my it's not good enough, he is honored by that, or he accepts it
even though we walk away feeling like I gave everything I could give, but yet it's not enough. And he's like, yeah, it's enough for me. I love you. It's like your kids, they come up and they hug you, they love you or whatever, and you know, it's like, you know what, you're my child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a connection there that transcends all that. And I think sometimes we come to him and we walk away feeling like, oh, he's so much more. It's true. But since he's our Father in heaven, he accepts us. You know, we're his children. If we'll worship him in the sincerity of our hearts, from our spirit, man, deep within, for him, he's saying, that's what I accept.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I accept.
Yeah, and it says he seeks those, which, you know, right or wrong in my mind, I'm you know, I'm envisioning God looking down from the heavenlies, looking at those, you know, at all people, and he's searching for those that are down there worshiping in spirit and truth. He's seeking those, and he says, ah, there's one. That one's mine.
Yes.
You know, it's it's just, it is. It's so intimate. It's so precious. And wow, that it pleases him that we would worship him, even though it's so insufficient.
You know, I think for me, one of my biggest motivations in studying the Word is I want to know more about him. But the study of the Word is not the end. Mm-hmm. It's a means to an end. Mm-hmm. It used to be the end. I used to study for the sake of study. I used to study because the end of the journey was the study of the Word of God, mm-hmm. to know more. And then I began to realize, wait, it's actually an end to a means. Or a means to an end. Yeah, it's a means to an end. And in this way, as I study, I begin to comprehend a little bit more of his greatness and his glory, which opens up a bigger capacity in my heart to worship him. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize, oh, to study is to open up your capacity to enlarge your heart so that your worship can be that much more profound, that much deeper. And there has been times in my life where I spend time with God, and there'll be moments in my time with the Lord that all of a sudden I am overwhelmed in his presence. I begin to connect with his presence, and I begin to taste and see, so to speak, spiritually, the enormity and the glory of who he is, and how great his love is, how great his love is. And there's times where I just, like, in those moments where you kind of like, you're like, come into this place, and like, all I can do is weep. Mm-hmm. I don't do this every day, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have these encounters all the time, mm-hmm. but as I spend time, there are times where I get into such a level of intimacy with the Lord that I'm overwhelmed, and all I can do is cry. Mm-hmm. I don't have any words. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of weep softly and just think, oh God, you're so good. You're so good. You know, mm-hmm. what was I thinking? You know, looking at my life and things I've done, and you are the glorious God of the universe. Mm-hmm. And I lay it all down, mm-hmm. and to be loved by you is enough. It's enough, mm-hmm. just to be loved by you, just to have a few moments with you in your presence. Mm-hmm. It's enough. You know, if I never had that for the rest of my life, just that memory of that alone could sustain me. It's powerful. It's pure. It's holy. And that's that place, I believe, of worship that God wants us to come into, is into a place that's pure. It's holy. It's authentic. You know, it's an encounter with the living God that's transcendent. And that brings transformation.
Yep. It reminds me of that scripture, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Yes.
And that is just, I just totally resonate with what you said, because I know we've all experienced that. And man, those days don't happen every day, but man, you'd take one of those over every other day you could ever have.
Yeah.
One of the things I feel really strong about right now is it's transcendent of my circumstances. You know, that it has to be where it is that my worship of the Lord is not as a thank you for his goodness, even mm-hmm. though he is good. Mm-hmm. And I should be thankful for his goodness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not just as a response to his blessing, even though I am grateful mm-hmm. for his blessing. You know, that true worship is when I really have nothing that I can see to be thankful for, when I have nothing that I can see in my circumstances that should be exciting. I think that's such truth of, you are good, yet though you take my life, I will praise you.
Yes.
You know, that it's not just, oh, praise the Lord for, mm-hmm. or it is the worship of the God of the universe, no matter what my circumstances are. And even that's when I feel like I really can enter that intimacy with him of going, I'm not just being grateful for the blessing you gave me. I'm just so grateful for this time that I can have with you and who it is that you are.
Yes,
and that it has nothing to do with what's in the bank account or in the, in my life or who these people, you know, it's just a worship of who it is that he is, not what it is that he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for every one of us, I think we have some different views on that, of course, you know, and mine, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's just me, but I get to these places and I think to myself, when I begin to understand, and we can't understand the infinite one. But we can understand his self-revelation to us, mm-hmm. which is still just, it would take several lifetimes to really comprehend even the limited, finite revelation, self-disclosure mm-hmm. of who he is. But in those moments where I begin to interface with that and I'm overwhelmed by it and the glory of that, the glory, you know, it's just like, ah, and I'm just like that. I'm in that place where I'm just kind of weeping. Part of why I'm weeping is I'm thinking to myself, and you love me?
Right.
Really? You love me? I mean, I'm a dirty little rat, you know, and the things I've done in my life and my failures, and you would still love me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. I am broken mm-hmm. in your great love. Yes. I am laid low. I most happily with every cell in my body lay prostrate before the great lover of my soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love those times.
Amen.
I don't have them all the time. If you're listening and saying, man, you know, how do you get there? Well, actually I don't get there often. You know, worship is, something you develop and cultivate over a long period of time. But God is awesome. And there are encounters with the Lord that we're all going to have throughout our life from time to time. And we're talking of some of those deep ones here mm-hmm. and, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know,
Amen.
It's more than life.
Amen.
Yeah. It's good. All right. So worshiping God is where we just lay it all down. We surrender everything, every fiber of our being, including our spirit, and that worship of God comes deep within our spirit, to worship him in spirit and truth implies that we are going to worship him with everything that is in us. All of our strength, all of our might, all of our soul, all of our mind, everything we're going to give to him. That's what it means to worship in spirit. That's what, you know, I watch people. I have to just say this because we're, you know, a midrash, you can get away with it, right?
So
on Shabbat, you know, I'll be enraptured, just pressing in and just really thinking, man, this is awesome. And I got people around me sitting there, some of them texting mm-hmm. or looking around. I'm thinking, how do you do that?
Right.
How do you do that? You know, would you do that if the president of the United States was addressing us? And yet this is the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. This is the creator. This is the infinite one. How do you sit there? Is he entertaining you today? Are you waiting for God to entertain you? Did you come here so you could be touched by God because this is all about you? I'm thinking, that's not worshiping God in spirit. Mm-hmm. You're not worshiping. Mm-hmm. You're just checking off some boxes here in your little spiritual discipline category. And that's not worship. Mm-hmm. And you've got to get up. You got to shake the chains off your feet and neck, you know, mm-hmm. and wake yourself up and compel yourself by your spirit to bow before the living God and press into him because he is worthy. Mm-hmm. He's the one being worshiped, not you.
Right.
Oh man, I get fired up. That's why I like being in the front. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, if I had to sit in the back and watch a bunch of people fooling around, I'd probably go berserk like Billy Jack and chop some people down. Who knows? But anyway, yeah, we have got to understand that God, though he's full of grace and mercy, requires, when it comes to worship, he requires our total being, mm-hmm. nothing less. Total being. That's who he's searching for. If someone's given 75%, he bypasses them. He's not looking at them. 100%. Your total being. And it's a discipline that you learn to do, that you learn to give to him. That's why worship is tied into the concept of labor, because it is laborious. Mm-hmm. It does take work. Mm-hmm. It is a service to the Lord. And so in order to do that, you got to move yourself from within and by the Spirit of God, connect and give him your attention 100%. Maybe that's why we have eyelids, you know, so we can close our eyes to all the distractions as we press into him. That's so important. So, okay, anyone want to make a closing comment on the worship in spirit at this point? And we'll just kind of wind this part of the show up.
The only thing I would say is that, you know, when he says in spirit and in truth, I think the spirit part makes sense to us of he wants us to worship him in spirit and not just sit there and do it in my flesh. You know, he wants us to worship him in spirit. But I know we'll talk about this for the next one too, but that truth part of I don't get to just, it's his truth. And I think a lot of times it's, well, this is how I choose to worship the Lord. And, yes. He's given us direction. I don't know what that means for all of us, and it's if the spirit and truth is the same thing for each and every one of us. But that's what he's looking for, is just truth, just honesty, just here's who it is that I really am before you, God. Not this is the face I put on, not yeah. This is the 30 minutes that I do, not are people behind me watching me.
Right.
But really just in the spirit, but also in just truth of even in my ugliness, this is who it is that I am. And I worship you, Lord,
yeah.
even in that truth.
Yeah.
Go Amen. Ahead. And another thing that just stands out in my heart in this verse in John 4 is that it points out that God is spirit. We all know God is spirit, but it's in this verse and it's in conjunction with you must also worship in spirit. What it speaks to me is he wants a one-on-one connection. This isn't, on different levels or different planes. He wants to meet you spirit in spirit. He wants to come face-to-face with you in this worship session, in this time of worship, this yes. time of love. So it's not just in the flesh and the physical and the natural, although that is part of it. But he also wants to meet you as your spirit man. He wants to meet you
as your true essence.
Yes, as your true essence, yeah. as your the eternal yeah. being inside of you.
Yeah, get away from all those layers of masks and all the things we do, and get right mm-hmm. down to who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And who we really are we going to lay that before the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to have our total being? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And I think that's part of what it means to worship in spirit. I think most of us do not worship in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us do not worship in the totality of our being and really devote that and bring an attentiveness and a focus to laying it down before him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a discipline that takes years to cultivate, but mm-hmm. I want to encourage the audience. I want to encourage myself. I'm not there either, but I want to encourage all of us to really learn to give the Lord the totality of who we are, especially in those corporate appointed times mm-hmm. where we are called to corporately come together and worship him.
Amen.
Yeah. So great. Well, I think that concludes our program for this week. And a special thanks to our great King, Yeshua the Messiah, our producer and co-host, Pastor Russ, and to our teacher, BJ, for being on with us. And especially our listeners and supporters for making this podcast possible through your prayers and financial giving. I am your host, Torah Teacher Mark. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua, the Messiah. Shalom.
Torah Talk has been brought to you by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation located in the North Hills Church of God facility at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado. Your host has been Pastor Mark McClellan. Join us for Sabbath services at 1 p.m. next Saturday afternoon. For more information, please call us at 303-761-9948 or visit our website at www.graftedin.com. God bless you and shalom.